Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another partner exclusive podcast here at Anabaptist Perspectives. I'm in the studio with Myron Eby and Marlon Summers, who are both part of the team here at Anabaptist Perspectives, and we're going to have a slightly different episode this time around. We thought it'd be a little interesting for something different to talk a bit about the behind the scenes process of what it takes to actually produce one of the episodes that goes up on our main YouTube channel and out as a podcast. Let's just jump into that. Myron, a lot of your workflow has been doing the audio engineering, but also some of the camera setups and things. Walk us through what it actually looks like and what are we actually trying to do with all of this? Because I know some people look at how much work it is and they're like, whoa, is there a way to do this a little easier? I'd be curious, yeah, could you explain a bit why we've chosen to do it the way we do and what's the thinking there?
Yeah, so maybe it would be helpful to just cover for people what the life cycle or what the initial idea all the way to what people see when it gets published. I think maybe it'd be helpful for some people to understand just how many pieces there are there. And this has definitely evolved over the past number of years from the first season or two when it was just a couple people. And now there's more of a team and a structure as things have grown. So the way an episode gets started is there's an idea, whether that's from the team here or a lot of things have been from people's comments on existing videos or saying, hey, you should interview this person about this topic. And we really do take notice of those when people mention that. We aren't saying that in an empty way when we ask people to give comments or suggestions there. So then we have kind of the exec team, Reagan and Marlon and Jaron and some others who are involved in kind of fleshing out, okay, what would an episode on this topic look like? And get in touch with the person who we feel is qualified to speak on the topic. And when we have those things sort of lined up, that's when I often will get involved. Depends where the filming is happening, but we will agree on a location and a time, and we'll show up several hours early and set up three cameras and some lights and some microphones and so on. Over the years, that has grown. One of the things that we care about is doing this in a way that is not distracting from the message and something that's pleasant to look at or listen to. It's live. Yes, we have one take on it. It's not that it's so scripted or there are teleprompters or anything like that. But we do care about there being a quality product because we recognize that these episodes are going to be on the internet for the foreseeable future. And we want them to be worthwhile resources. You know, we occasionally get comments on, especially some of the older videos, like, hey, this audio is really quiet, or, you know, hey, I can hardly hear this guy. And yeah, that's really unfortunate. We didn't have the technical know-how or the manpower or something early on in some of those episodes. And so they really are what they are. The only option for us is to take down those episodes with all their views, all their comments, and upload a remastered version. And I'm not saying that couldn't be done, but YouTube especially doesn't have a way of just replacing the audio if it's scratchy or something like that.
Yeah, I think your longevity point there is right. And wanting something that's going to kind of work well for a long time to come on the internet. Because some of the rewarding feedback I've gotten is like being at an event and people come up to me and say, oh yeah, my high school teacher assigned this video for a class, or my Bible Institute teacher assigned this video. And like, yeah, they get used.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they don't just get used the first week they're up, right? Like there's a life span there that really is ongoing. And so we want to try to find that balance of we don't want to just spend lots and lots of money on gear and spend, you know, we don't have a dedicated studio space to do all this in. That's really fancy. There is a aspect of not quite volunteers, but yeah, it is all listener supported. It's not, it does not have a large budget for this type of stuff. And so we want to do the best we can with the gear that we have. And maybe going back to this life cycle thing a little bit. So the setup, yeah, lights, cameras, and microphones. And when the episode is done, we take that footage and those files and we put them on a server, a central server. And from there, it goes into post-production. So there are deadlines established for, you know, what episode is going to get published when. Some of that stuff gets scheduled out. The editing schedule for audio and then video is based off of that roughly. And one of the things that some people may not realize is that from the time that an episode is filmed until the time that it actually gets published, depending on how much content we have to work with, can be close to a year. It can be a fairly substantial amount of time. So after an episode is edited, then at that point, the exec team reviews it, make sure that it is what we want to represent, is representing the topic well, and no major issues with audio or video, that sort of thing. And then it goes to Krista, our production manager, who schedules all of those things to be released on a given day. So Marlon's involved in helping to craft blurbs and descriptions for those videos. And I'm probably missing some people with things. But yeah, there's a lot of people in the background working on these things. The board, which is seven people right now, right? So seven people on the board who are giving some oversight on topics that get covered. They're the ones who worry about the financial details and things like that. So yeah, we're really, really honored and blessed and humbled to see how God has taken this idea that seemed pretty crazy at the time for Jaron and Reagan. And it's been a privilege to be involved in the work from early on and continue contributing to that in the background for myself, and to see the connections, and to see not only the connections for people and churches or us with our audience, but really meaningful connections for people in their understanding of who God is and what it means to follow Christ's kingdom and to take the Bible literally. Okay, when Jesus says do not kill, that's what he means. And to explain that and have people's light bulbs come on is really meaningful. And so that's one of the reasons why I am passionate about being involved here and get excited to continue the work, even though it's not always easy and there are deadlines to meet and there are challenges to overcome. We want to do our best, again, ultimately for the glory of God, but also recognizing that what we're putting out this week or next week or a month from now may impact someone in a very profound way in the future. And so we think that potential is worthy of us doing our best and putting in time and effort into that process.
Yeah, there's different angles. I mean, could you maybe just unpack a little bit? You talk about audio engineering, like what do you have to do to get sound from these microphones to something else?
Yeah, good question. That varies a little bit depending on the space. So like where we're recording right now is somewhat sound treated, and the types of microphones we're using, this will be easier to edit than the microphones we use for a lot of our episodes, but it's just a different type of microphone, different type of space. So for myself, when I take a piece of audio, let's just use this episode as an example. So we have three microphones here. Those are being recorded to three different tracks. So when I'm talking right now, there's not going to be any audio coming from Reagan's track or Marlon's track. Their tracks are going to be cut out during this time. It's called checkerboard audio where you're removing the other microphones so you don't get any bleed. Like their microphones, your two microphones are picking up a little bit of my voice. So that can reduce the clarity of the voice. So remove those clips. If there's a background noise like an AC unit or some other constant noise, that gets removed. One of the things that you're also dealing with is variations in people's voices. So you have people who are more soft-spoken. You have people who have voices that, depending on the microphone that's being used, is going to be kind of harsh and sort of tiring to your ear to listen to. So knowing how to balance the levels between all your people who are on the podcast or on the video is important. And then just knowing what levels to set those at. Different platforms want those at different levels. And you know, if you're listening to a podcast in your car on your phone speaker or on earbuds, you know, you're in a noisy environment. You don't want that to be really, really quiet. And so it's different. Spoken word's different than, say, music, where you might be sitting at home in a really quiet space with good speakers or something, and there can be more nuance there. So yeah, removing background noise, adjusting EQ things to make people's voices sound sweeter is the term that most people use. It's not harsh. Removing some of that edge from people's voice, or if their voice is sibilant, like when they say the letters S and so on, sometimes that can be really harsh. So toning things like that down. If a room is echoey, and there's a lot of reverb, trying to remove some of that too. There's only so much you can do, but yeah, there are a lot of good tools available. If, I guess we've thrown in enough technical details. I use Isotope RX a lot. It is one of the tools that I use. That and Reaper are two audio editing tools that I use a lot. Isotope is quite the product. It really feels like magic a lot of times, what they can do as far as removing a noise, whether it's a constant noise or whether it's a periodic clicking or some other type of noise. It's
cats, lawnmowers.
Yeah, cats, lawnmowers. The lawnmowers are easier than cats. Did you know that when cats meow, it's not one tone, it's actually harmonics? And so they're like, you have, when a cat makes a meow sound, you have a lower sound, and then you might have like three or four other sounds in higher frequencies that you also need to remove. So don't ask me how I learned that.
There might have been an episode that we did with Myron that had, yeah, anyway, there was a cat involved.
There was a cat in the background that was not supposed to be in the building, and it was.
Yep.
Anyway.
That was a fun time.
We got most of it removed.
Yeah.
I guess we could play I Spy. If you know where that is, let us know.
No. Or maybe just don't, because it's embarrassing. Anyways, yeah. No, it's a really good point about what you said, taking the time with what we make, because it's going to be on the internet for a while. Our most watched episode is from 2018, and it's still consistently getting more views now than a lot of our more recent stuff, even stuff that we may have just released. It will still get more views that week, even though it's, you know, 5 years old, versus something that just came out that week. And that just goes to make the point that, you know, taking the time to film that right and do it well years ago can really matter even now today. And looking back on it, it's like, oh yeah, we could have done a better job with that, you know. But again, you know, there's limitations of, you know, gear that we had at the time and personnel and things. But it is a really good point. And that's some of what we're trying to do here is we want to make a lot of things and put them for free on the internet. That's based essentially the goal, but we want to do it well. There's a threshold of quality that we want to have. And it doesn't, you know, sometimes circumstances, it's not always perfect or what we want it to be sometimes. And that's not the end of the world. But I think there's value in taking the time doing it right, which is why it's so important that people like Myron are on the team, because I'm way too busy just running around trying to interview people that I don't really pay attention to that stuff very much. So it can get us in trouble sometimes, and it has in the past. Anyways.
Yeah, I think it's just looking back at our own history and the work that we produce, say, in year one to where we are now, you recognize that there's a process. There's growth that happens there. And I think for people like me who tend to be more perfectionistic, we want to either do it right or else not do it. And there are other people who say, hey, let's dive in and see what happens. And I think you need both sorts of people. And so I guess, yeah, I'm reminded, I think this is a recent episode. This is one of the problems of editing stuff ahead of time. Did we release an episode from Kyle on the fear of failure? Or is that still upcoming?
I think it will be released before this is, anyhow.
Yeah, okay. It's coming up really soon. Yeah.
Sure. So like in that episode, that was a really good episode for me. One of the privileges I have is I get to listen to every episode because I edit the audio for everyone. And I'm enriched by a lot of what I hear too. And that episode was really good for me because at some point you just need to start. And it's okay to fail or to flounder some. But anything worth doing is worth doing poorly, he says. You know, not as an excuse to stay there, but as in, like, it's okay. It's okay to mess up. You just need to start somewhere and go with it. And if it would have been up to me early on, yeah, there are things I know now that I didn't know in 2017. So maybe I would have just jumped in and started it. But I probably would not have produce near the content that we as a team have produced because I would have been scared of failing or not being perfect. Anyway, I think that has practical implications for life. And it's also, I think, a reflection of how our relationship with God and our understanding of who he is in the Bible. It's a process. It's an ongoing work. And we shouldn't be scared of that process. We should be doing the best that we can. We should be faithful where we are now. And as God shows us things to grow in, and as we are able to, you know, increase our ability or our knowledge on something like producing episodes, I think we need to steward that knowledge and responsibility well. But yeah, do jump in and do what God has called you to, and the door that's open, step through it. And yeah, maybe you'll mess up, but there's fruit to be had. There's glory to be given to God through all that.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks you all for sharing on this episode. Yeah, slightly different one this time around, but I think the lessons are clear to not be afraid of the failure. I'm going to have to listen to that episode. That was one Jaron did with Kyle, so I haven't heard that one. That's some really good stuff. It's a good word to end on.